This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Gay Talese was one of the first writers to practice what became known as the New Journalism. He applied the dramatic structure of fiction to carefully researched magazine stories about real people. In the 60s, he was one of the star writers at Esquire magazine. He expanded on his magazine style to write nonfiction books, several of which became bestsellers. The Kingdom and the Power was about the New York Times, Honor Thy Father about a New York mafia family, and Thy Neighbor's Wife about the sexual revolution. Talese himself became a character in Thy Neighbor's Wife, engaging in sexual relations with some of the women he interviewed, which made him and his book the subject of criticism, even mockery. After that book was published in 1980, he began a new book on his own Italian-American family history. It's just been published. It's called Unto the Sons. Talese remembers the moment when he decided to look at his own life and family as material for his next book.
Reaching the age of 50 for me, and back in 1981, was a time where I gave pause. I, in fact, was on an airplane 3 days before my 50th birthday, a small plane that was about to crash. The pilot and the co-pilot came back. This was between Denver and Santa Fe, and there were nine of us on the plane, small commuter flight. And the pilot said, or the co-pilot said, gentlemen, please, we're going to crash. We have run out of our left landing gears. It doesn't go down, and we want you to remove from your pocket any hard objects, such as a fountain pen, release your ties, and assume this position when I give it to you later. It was a crouch position. I walked around the cabin and thought, this is the end. But I won't be 50. I'm 49, 5 or 6 days from being 50. At that time, my book, Thy Neighbor's Wife, was number one on the bestseller list. I'd had behind me some accomplished work that had been recognized. And I dreaded the future in the sense of being old and not being able to be the vigorous reporter that I thought I had been up to that point. I wrote a note to my wife and my two daughters. I had 20 minutes, I was told, before the plane would circle back to Denver. These 15 or 20 minutes that I had were time to ponder where I had been. And I thought, it's all over for me. And yet there was, and this is maybe bizarre to you, but within myself as a journalist, I was thinking of news events. This shows you how detached I was from whatever self I was recognizing at that time. I thought, I am going to go down before 50, and I'm going to go down with a pretty good record in terms of achievement, which is another way of saying news value. I was judging myself in terms, and the only terms I've been reared to evaluate as a journalist, news value. Short of it is, the plane did crash, and the short of it is, I'm here today.
The plane did crash?
No, it did. It crash landed, but we weren't killed, clearly, or here I wouldn't be among your honored guests this morning.
So what did this?
What this did to me?
Almost plane crash. Tell you about your family.
It told me that I don't know what it is that I am, except the journalist. And when I got out of that plane, I had not a clear idea what I was going to do next. It wasn't too much pondering beyond that point that I decided I want to do a personal story so that I can leave some record of what I really am apart from what I do.
Your previous book, Thy Neighbor's Wife, was about the sexual revolution, and you even managed a massage parlor during part of it, and you yourself were one of the characters in the book. So it seems like you've gone in a way from one extreme to another in your last two books, you know, from the sexual revolution to the old country, you know, which is where you went for Unto the Sons, back to Italy, back to the place your father was born.
My life, while I've described it as being about a life concentrating on the actions of other people. Nevertheless, in everything I've written, there have been my fingerprints. There's a sense of myself that I kept secret from the reader, but it's clearly there in the shadows of whatever it is that I wrote. Example, Thy Neighbor's Wife goes back to my hometown and to my boyhood. I was an altar boy, reared in a very strict Irish Catholic parish in a large Protestant community. And as an altar boy, nuns and priests had control of my life and control of my sense of what was sinful and not sinful. And I was reared in a strong attitude of sin involving sexual affairs. Sexual affairs might be in the sense of books that were erotic, films that were erotic, thoughts that were erotic. Anything of that was supposed to be eradicated from our consciousness. So we grew up, myself and those classmates in that parochial school, grew up with a sense of severity with regard to what was obscene. And not surprisingly, being the curious person that I became as a journalist, I would be interested in who is obscene in America and why were they obscene and what made them so different from people who were not obscene. The idea of pursuing sin, the idea of living with sinners and writing about sin, such as it was defined, I should say, in my Catholic parish back in my boyhood.
How did you change as a person from when you were writing Thy Neighbor's Wife, writing about the sexual revolution, to when you were writing Unto the Sons, writing about your family history? I mean, they're two such different subjects. Did you stop the experimentation that you were doing during the sexual revolution when you started writing about your family history? Did you change worlds yourself?
No, I see myself as rather consistently pursuing the same approach to research no matter what it is that I'm doing. There are books that I wrote that you haven't heard of because they're so obscure. One is a book on bridge building, and there was a book about men who go on high places and do deal with wired steel and put together a grand structure such as the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, which separates Brooklyn from Staten Island. Now, when I did that book, I was up there with the cable builders and the riveting gangs, and I lived with the Indians who were also active on this. And I live my subjects. I am like an actor that takes a role and totally loses myself. So it is also true. I lived the New York Times years, and I wrote about it from the inside my head, inside my very sense of all my values are connected to what it is that I am writing about. When I dealt with the mafia, I hung out with these gangsters. I was not writing from the point of view of the Justice Department or from the police department. I was involved with, living with, consorting with known criminals, reveling in the fact that I was part of the underworld. And when I wrote about Thy Neighbor's Wife, yes, indeed, I did get involved. I went to nudist camps. I managed massage parlors, as you said. I wanted to know, indeed, to travel with, to consort with known sinners, people that were convicted of all kinds of crimes of obscenity and pornography. I'm interested in the dark world of human life. I wanted to know about the side streets of this society. And when I dealt with the current book, Unto the Sons, again, I'm back into the depth of my adolescence and all the turmoil that was part of it and the conflict and the difficulty of recognizing myself as an American. So I'm always digging as deep as I can possibly go, and there's nothing that I find revolting about what it is that I want to know, because I'm finally and totally interested in expanding knowledge in those areas that I believe there are a lot of blank spaces. And my own life is a report of these blank spaces. So I just got into them and delved into them and got lost in them. And I emerge at a certain period in time when I start to write. That's about my story, my life.
Let me have you read a short passage from your new book, Unto the Sons. And your father is a tailor, or was a tailor. You know, I don't know.
Is it? My father, who's 87 years old and still does certain amount of sewing each day, but was a tailor all his life, and I have other relatives who are tailors. I come from a family of more tailors than anything else.
My grandfather was a tailor.
Was he from Europe?
Yep, sure was. Uh-huh. Yeah, Eastern Europe.
Right.
Yeah. So let me have you read this passage.
It was my destiny to become the dutiful son of an exacting tailor who presumed to possess the precise measurement of my body and soul. And it was my unavoidable birthright to wear the custom clothes that reflected his taste, advertised his trade, and reaffirmed his talent with the needle and thread. I became my father's miniature mannequin soon after I learned to walk, and during winter I was draped in sturdy worsted coats and jackets with square shoulders and hand-stitching on the edges of my lapels. And on my head was a feathered felt fedora, slanted at an angle favored by my father, that was occasionally knocked off by the rowdy students with whom I rode the school bus to parochial school.
Did your clothes define the activities that you could and couldn't get involved in as a kid?
To a degree, that's true. I was a prisoner of clothes, to tell you the truth, in the beginning. My father dressed me, as I said, like a miniature mannequin, something that would... I was a walking signboard, in a sense, for his shop, for his skill. The young men and young women that I went to parochial school and later to high school with, of course, dressed in the casual style of young people. And I was yearning to be, I yearned to be like them. All of us as adolescents would like to be part of a group and be accepted by a group. And I was isolated from the group.
It seems, in a way, you probably never rebelled against the suits that you had to wear when you were young, because you're still famous for wearing very fine, customized suits.
It became so much a part of me that if I rebelled, and I think I did in other ways, but in terms of tailoring, I guess I didn't. I guess I do not. I never rebelled in that way. But on the other hand, I do think that in my choice of what to write about and how I've done it, how I've done my research, I know that I was a source of embarrassment to my father and mother in much of what I've chosen to write about. So in that sense, you might say there's a rebel in my rather conformist clothing.
You know, I found myself wondering if fancy suits were a new journalism thing, you know, with Tom Wolfe and his fine white suits and you and your tailored suits.
Well, Tom, and I admire him very, very much, and we're personal friends as well. He started something when he called certain people new journalists back in the early 1970s. And he, of course, he included me. Not of course, he did. He, in fact, featured me. And I took this as not a left-handed compliment, but I took it with some misgiving because I did not want to be identified by him or anyone else as part of a group of people, because as my whole life I said, I've had a sense of comfort in being isolated. But more important, many of these so-called new journalists were people that didn't take a lot of time. They were very opinionated writers who did not do a great deal of research. And I became affiliated with the group of people who were into, shortcutting their work. And that's not such a flattering definition as I see it.
Well, how would you define the kind of style you've developed over the years?
I was, as a young man, into escapism through literature as well as fantasy. I was a reader of short stories. I loved fiction writing. What made fiction writing so special to me was that it dealt with privacy. And yet the course that I took in terms of identity and craft and career was nonfiction writing. It started as a journalist, and we journalists are more often than not dealing with public people, famous people, newsworthy people.
Well, sure, you're doing people like Frank Sinatra and Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, and we all do. Whereas the fiction writers, the Mary Gordons and the Philip Roths, etc., are really writing about interpersonal relationships, writing about their parents, writing about their childhood, they're writing about their girlfriends, their boyfriend. And I wanted to write about that, too.
What was your first real breakthrough in developing the style that you wanted?
Once I had an assignment to cover Joe Louis, the great heavyweight champion from the 1940s, 50s. And I was flying with him from New York to Los Angeles. He lived then in Los Angeles. And I just after we left the baggage claim, carrying our suitcases, I was going to spend a few days interviewing him out there. His wife came running up the ramp and greeted him and put her arms around him, and then realized as she kissed him that he hadn't shaved that morning. And as he looked tired, and she said, "Joe, you look like you've been out all night." And he said, "Yep, sweetie, I had a long evening last night." And she said something to the effect, "Well, when you're here, you go to bed early, and we have a pretty dull life. And when you go out there to New York, you suddenly get young again." And there was this dialogue between husband and wife, the old champ and his third wife. And I listened to it. And then he finally introduced me. And when I wrote the piece later on, this is for Esquire, I sort of opened with that scene of an old champ meeting his wife in an airport and his being young again in New York. And now he's back with marital life, which to the both of them seemed, at least to her, seemed quite routine. I mean, that's when I wrote it, and it appeared. And about 7 or 8 years later, Tom Wolfe, in writing this anthology, The New Journalism, said that's what turned him on to new journalism. Now, I didn't myself think of it. That's the way Irwin Shaw would have written that. You know, girls in their summer dresses, sailor off the Bremen. I mean, the way these wonderful writers with a poetic soul would deal with human involvement with one another, the relationships of men and women. This is something that I, as a boy, and never did it cease to fascinate me as worthy of being written about, but by nonfiction writers. And I just didn't see why I could not try to do that.
You know, I'm thinking so many Italian Americans in the United States have grown up in Italian American communities, and there really is a sense of a culture that you're part of, whereas you grew up in a community that was largely Irish.
And Protestant, yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't have that...
Protection, the insularity of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I became a writer. Maybe that's why I was more than curious about who I was, because there wasn't much that I could look around. I mean, I couldn't look around and see other people with similar lives and say, okay, we're part of this group. I was groupless.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
I very much enjoyed it, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Gay Talese, his new book is Unto the Suns. Rock critic Ken Tucker reviews new records after the short break. This is Fresh Air.